The Maroon and White Pod, brought to you by CityLink. For bookings, timetables, updates, and any other information, head to citylink.ie.
Hey everyone, you're all very welcome back to the Maroon and White Pod after a lovely Easter break.
Yeah.
My friend.
Good to see you.
Yeah, great to see you.
Yeah.
It was a busy 2 weeks. Lovely to be off though.
Oh, great to be off. But you look at typical us, we decided we were taking a break, but we actually didn't take a break.
No, we didn't. And we said that we would, when we came back on the pod, that we'd know how to get back into the computer. And yes, as usual,
it has taken us the guts of 27 and a half minutes.
Not so bad.
So that's a good time this week.
Oh, stop.
We're definitely going to have to get those tech guys back in.
No, we're going to have to. You're going to have to ask for forgiveness.
So anyone out there that's willing to come on board and help us. But look, isn't that the joys of it? Yeah. And that's part of going live on air.
It was busy. Obviously, we did the camps. I did a camp in Ardrahan, a camp
Ballindurin,
big numbers at both camps, which is great. Hurling and Camogie, lovely again promoting the game. Now we had a washout in Ballindurin, obviously.
We did, unfortunately, with the rain. Yeah,
the sunshine.
Yeah, makes a change. Yeah, even though there's something about our Ardrahan that when it always shines. But other than that, now, and like ourselves, we both have two sons that are under 11, and we had the experience of up in the Go Games
in Crow Park.
Yeah.
Wasn't it lovely?
It was a lovely day, and it brought so much positivity to the stadium and to the boys themselves. Should have been a ball.
But fair play to Connacht GAA, not in fairness.
Oh, yeah, and a shout out to all the lads down the Beacon, Craig in particular, Dennis in Galway, and all the lads that have done so much to promote, especially underage, because these young lads had a ball.
No, they did.
I think the parents had more of a ball.
Oh, we did. Well,
I don't know about you, but I was trying to sneak into the Holy Grail, trying to get
there. Was no way you were getting in. No. I'd say I'd done 20 kilometres above Crow Park, chasing Garrett around.
Actually,
a big shout out to Jessie. Jessie, I met her up in up in Crow Park with Jessie Gill up at the little lad. He was playing with Sarsfield, so it was lovely to meet a few of the parents and stuff like that. So,
straight down to business and
back to brass tacks tonight.
Three exciting guests with us tonight. We're going to first of all talk in a few minutes to Cillian Whelan.
Cillian is a teacher from Laois and heavily involved with broadcasting for the last 30 years. Started out on radio and has really, really helped the promotion of the game of Camogie, particularly in the last 5 or 6 years, reporting on games and stuff. Yep. He's a teacher up in Laois now, but I'll ask him the name of the school again. I've forgotten the name of the school, but an English and history teacher, so he might...
Which is like CVP and a bit of everything.
And ABC. Usual, correct.
The ABCs and the RJTs.
But he presented at the All-Stars there for a couple of years. He's heavily involved now, and he loves the promotion of the game, and talking to him earlier on today as well. He's in the background, but he's very much doing a lot of work for the promotion of
Camogie. Looking forward to the weekend.
He'll give us a preview on the game.
Yeah, and fantastic.
Later on, can't wait to chat to two great girls, Body and Kind, co-founders, Aisling Connolly and Sinead Connolly Bradbury. I was saying she was Sinead Bradbury Connolly, but she's Sinead Connolly.
But Thelma and Louise,
but I think they're more, they might be a bit more high tech than us. But,
exactly.
Can't wait to chat to them.
Can't wait to have a chat with them and to hear about their new adventure going down the line.
We won't give away too much. We let them chat, but really can't wait to start. And obviously, Aisling is a former Camogie player with Galway and former All-Star. So it's great to have the likes of Sinead and Aisling talking tonight about all things Camogie, and particularly with Sinead as well, with the nutrition side and the performance side,
and Aisling as well.
So Sinead has been involved heavily with the nutrition side of it, with the boys and the ladies for the last number of years, and I was lucky enough to have had her as a nutritionist on the Galway Camogie team. Mm-hmm. So, and she's absolutely fantastic, and Aisling as well. So, will we get Cillian on? Did I say he's from Laois? We won't hold it against him, but they're blue and white, so that's okay with me. Cillian, how are you?
Good to talk to you girls. How are you doing, Martina and Aoife?
Fantastic to, as I said to you earlier, Cillian, fantastic to put to be able to hear the voice rather than being reading all the information that you'd put up constantly on Twitter. And we know that you're a massive advocate for Camogie and in particular that side, but you follow, I suppose, all games. And something that we're looking forward to this evening with you, Killeen, is just previewing the league final with Galway and Tip and in Croke Park. But talk to us a little bit about yourself, maybe.
I'd love to know who that lad was you were talking about there a few minutes ago. He sounds
He's
great.
He's just gone out the back door there, Killeen. we heard you have all the inside goss now, because you do get the information quicker than anybody I know. And
I do, yeah.
You do. So we want to know all the goss.
I've Cahill on speed dial here now, just at the minute, like, you know, so there'll be no problem hearing from him in a minute.
Well, lucky you. So Sunday, looking ahead to Sunday.
Give us your thoughts, I suppose, yeah.
Yeah, well, look, it's a unique final, of course, in some ways. You know, Galway and Tip probably don't meet in big games that often. I was trying to look at some of the records there at Championship. I don't think they've met in a while. So, you know, again, obviously meeting group stages of the league over the last number of years. But look, it is a unique final. And Tip, you know, rolling back the years, it's hard to believe, you know, with a county with the tradition that it has, that it's so long since they've been in a league final. It's 2009 since they were there. 2004.
Years, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, so, you know, like,
and they have been going well, like at under, like 16s and minors. I just don't know where they went, because years ago, do you know when they had a couple in a row, like they had a few others in a row, and they kind of just seemed to go off the boil, you know?
Yeah, look, I suppose a bit of complacency can set in when that kind of thing happens. And, you know, cyclical events happen as well within counties. You know, look, I just think there was a group of people have got together there in the last maybe 10 years have started to sort things out, and it's probably come to fruition then. I have to say, like, you know, I haven't talked with a good Galway man over the last couple of years that you would know quite well, and Darren Kelly, that we've shared many a story about Camogie. And, you know, well, I'm only following after him now. I'm disappointed, girls. I'm only on after he's been on your program. But you know, like, look, at this stage, you know, Tip's, we would have predicted Tip probably getting to this level 2 years ago, you know, so it's taken its time. And you know, I think they've had, unfortunately for them, they've had a couple of harsh lessons against Kilkenny and the Corks and Galway's, you know, in recent years in league and Championship, and that has kind of, you'd feel, is going to set them back. But probably this year, when least was probably expected of them, I have to say, they've actually come to the fore, you know.
Yeah, but in fairness too, looking at they have a good management set up there, and they have you know, former players, people that have played the game, you know, I'll be just thinking of the names, and you know, I'm sure they've brought their experience, and tactically they'll have the matchups for Galway on Sunday.
Yeah, well, look, when you get to a final, the fact that they haven't been there in a while, that's obviously going to be a factor. There's no question about it. And Cathal Murray will have that on Dennis Kelly. There's no question. But, you know, Dennis is a very astute individual, and I think they've worked an awful lot on the psychological side of things of, you know, girls taking their opportunity now when it has presented themselves. And, you know, like, they beat Galway in the group stage of the league last year, and then didn't end up making the final. They were unlucky, of course, as we know, with COVID, they qualified for the final and then get to play it, you know. So that probably rankled a little bit with them. And I know they had obviously pushed the hope that league final would have been played that time, but it subsequently wasn't. So look, they've kept knocking and plugging away. And I would think there's been a bit of a psychological breakthrough for them this year, girls. I think that's been a big factor here. That they've just, there's probably a chance that they've taken the monkey off the back. But of course, now is the next step, because, you know, they were challenging the big three, if you want to call it that. They've beaten the big three games in a row in the league. Now they're in the big game in Croke Park, you know. So, like, you know, look, they won't be, Galway can't take them for granted. There's no question about that. But, you know, I do think it's going to be a bigger task now for Tip to go on the big day in Croke Park and prove their mettle. And that will be another big test.
And I think silverware is awful important. I think it's awful important for them to get a bit of silverware. They actually remind me a little bit, Killeen, of the Clare against Kilkenny. And, you know, again, the league hurling final, you know, it was awful important that Clare got over the line, because Brian Owen has been knocking on the door. And I'm sure, like, you know, his contract or his term is soon up, and there was no silverware being seen. Whereas now, bit of silverware brings a bit of momentum and a winning feeling. And I have a feeling that if Tipperary get over the line against Galway, that will do nothing but drive them on.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly with you.
The championship win as well, you see, Killian, Leicester wasn't just Watford. Yeah. They took their eye off the ball, Leicester, with Watford. And I think Leicester, they kind of, I think it's one that may have got away from them. So they might be either gunning to get back where they were or, you know, haven't even thought about, I suppose, what happened last year. It could be another set of players in again, like, but they definitely took their eye off the ball. So they probably won't make that mistake again on Sunday, you know.
Well, the situation, Aoife, would have been, I think, that there was an expectation a little bit of them last year. That's why I feel that they've probably, even though they're top the table and they've put up a serious score, you know, 94 points forward, they've a serious amount of goals in their matches. The average is 2 per game. You know, so like they have, you can't say they've come in under the radar, but yet there's probably the expectation this year outside has probably not been, you know, we might have been in danger of writing tip off a little bit, I have to say, because Waterford obviously came out with a pack last year. And maybe you were thinking Waterford are going to be the ones that are going to take the mantle of Galway, Cork or Kilkenny, one of those. So now Tip have probably put the hand back up again and kind of went, you know, maybe Tip, in fairness, maybe Dennis Kelly has challenged that group of players and said, here, do you want Waterford to take your place that you've been working on for the last 3 or 4 years? Yeah. So maybe they just finally put the you know, the heads down and it's worked for them. But look, they have had, I think, a great thing as well, I suppose, is that they've been able to showcase a couple of players that probably would have relied on Cott Devan, let's say. So Cott was the one that was always expected to get the score and whatever. You know, Cott not hasn't been there this year. No. So, you know, like, they've had to rely on a couple of other players. And, you know, I know Emer Magrana was probably taking on the Cott Devan role a little bit, but I think the spread of players and scores has been a big significant factor here for them.
Yeah.
So there's no kind of, they're not dependent, obviously, as they were before. So look, it's going to be a great test for them, and it'll be a great test for Galway. And we don't know the starting team for Galway yet, obviously, but you know, we've kind of a fair idea, but hopefully injuries and stuff like that won't be a major factor, but it'll be a good one. It'll be definitely a good one.
Yeah, look, I always have a soft spot for Galway. I always have over the years. I just feel that...
You're only saying that now.
Just because I'm here, but I have to say that. If I was with Tip, I'd probably say the same to them, you know? But like...
Are you on another podcast now?
I am, right. Just right now, I'm talking here on the other side. Yeah. But, you know, you have a situation of where... Galway, I always thought, played a nice brand of camogie. You know, the quality of some of the stuff that they did, and when, you know, the breakthroughs came through there in the around the time of COVID and stuff like that. Just the brand that they were playing was fascinating to watch. But they probably, I hope you don't mind me saying, but Galway probably didn't achieve enough that team probably deserves, I have to say, you know. And there's been a few players have obviously now headed away under retirements or whatever. They're no longer within the setup, who I feel probably would feel they've left themselves short a middle or two of All-Irelands, I have to say. But, you know, look, Cahill has stuck around. He's moulded probably another team now into place. You know, at underage, Galway have done significantly very, very well over the last number of years. And he's, blooded a few into that team. But he's also kept a few of the old guard, and he's been able to welcome back all the Neves. And, you know, I think the securing of Niamh Mallon into the setup as well. I wonder, will we see her Sunday? I think, you know, we're going to be sure to see her at some point in the championship.
I think we're going to have to see her.
I would agree with you, Martina, because
Sunday has to be her day to get a little bit of game time.
Well, she's there a couple of weeks now, but it's been kept very, very quiet.
She hasn't featured yet.
And you know something, the one thing Cahill, I think, has to be worried about is the lack of goals that Galway have got. I know they notched up 75 points, but they've only got 2 goals in the league campaign. You know, like, the average is about 14, 15 points a game. I don't think 14 or 15 points will beat Tip on Sunday. I think they're going to have to hit the 20 mark, and they may have to get a goal or two. So, like, the scenario here is that I think we may see Niamh Mallon in Croke Park, and I think, you know, they'll need goals, and they're not getting them at the minute. And I don't know whether that is a change in play. You know, we haven't, like, Siobhan and has obviously come back in there. It just hasn't fallen her way on occasion, it would seem, for a goal opportunity. It seems to be a lot of goals or a scoring threat. Obviously, Carrie, I think, has, you know, a fantastic player. I've been watching her since she was a youngster, and she has just grown into such a mature player and a leader. She's ice in the veins. It's just phenomenal. But she didn't lick it off a stone, I suppose. But you know, she just has that ability. But I do think if you're going to start winning All Ireland series or winning national titles, they're going to have to find the back of the onion sack. And I think you're going to see the emergence of Niamh Mallet. Now that'll put pressure on the other forwards. Like, I still think there's quality there. Aoife Donoghue, obviously, Ailish O'Reilly, Niamh Hanafy, if she gets a run, the McGraths, obviously, you know, there's enough there to still find the back of the net. But I think that would be a little worry that Cahill might have, you know?
Yeah. And that's true. I think, you know, going back to the bit about what Siobhan, I think with Siobhan too, it's all about the type of ball, Killian, that's given to her. And from watching the games over the last couple of weeks, and Siobhan actually happens to be teaching with me in St. Rayfield, so I was having a chat with her today.
Inside your information here now.
Oh, inside information.
Killian, honest to God, there hasn't been a podcast that she hasn't mentioned Rayfields 15 times.
If you can't look after your own, Killian. But no, we really have a realistic chat, and I was like saying, you know, I was joking with her, and I was saying, referees are beginning to know your game, Siobhan, like, because she's going low, and you know, this whole debacle or debate over the Schlitter being touched on the ground and girls getting down really low, and you know, the supply of ball coming into her should be quality. I'm not saying it isn't, but I think you mentioned there about Galway and playing a little bit of a different type of game. If Siobhan McGrath is going to score goals, they have to create space for her. But I think all oppositions are beginning to cop on to her game, because I won't say she's a one-horse pony. She's a fantastic player, but they're getting to know her, and they're kind of getting the ball. The ball has been cut from her.
They're cutting the supply.
The supply, and if Siobhan can't score goals, I think Galway are in trouble. If Galway can't score goals,
Can I make a suggestion here now? And I'm also talking about one of the finest camogie players that I've watched in recent years too, in Aoife Donoghue, that Aoife's probably not getting the road, if you understand me. I think the supply is being cut off at area one, if you understand me. So Siobhan is not able to get that supply because it's being cut out the field. That would be the worry that I would have, that maybe Aoife hasn't been getting the opportunity to shine, probably because, you know, maybe she's been asked to play a different game. I don't know, but also
it's a slightly unsettled team, though, I think, as well.
You're still trying to blood. You're looking at Blood and Roisin there at full back. You're looking at Anya at centre back, and they're only really filling into the roles. There's no question about it. They're not doing too bad, considering that it's new to a lot of the players. If you're Cahill girls, if you're Cahill and you're looking at it, you know, they haven't conceded a whole lot either. Like, they've conceded 57 points, whereas Tip have conceded 58. So, you know, like, he'd be kind of going, right, I might be getting the goals at one end, but we're not conceding at the other.
I do find in the league, though, Killian, an awful lot of the times in the league, because with the pitches not being hectic, an awful lot of these games are freeze.
You
mentioned Kerry there, like, she's an unbelievable free taker, and she has kept Galway Camogie in it, not just this year, in other years when they needed scores, and she was getting, you know, frees from serious angles. I think it's probably down to a lot of that as well. But, well, that's our excuse anyway in Galway at the minute.
Yeah, but no, like, I would agree with you. I think there's a part of that, but then someone would turn around and say, well, hold on, Tipperary scored 3-10 against Sheehan, they scored 2-10 against Cork, 2-12 against Kilkenny, 4-19 against Clare. Look, I do think Galway and Croke Park will be a different kettle of fish. I think the wide open spaces, the dry turf, and I've been told apparently the pitch is in one of the best nicks it's been in the last three or four years.
They wouldn't let us on it, Killian.
But, like, you know, that's the scenario that, you know, these games, you know, it could be a different. I just think Galway and Croke Park would be a different kettle of fish for Tipperary. But, you know, it promises to be, I think it'll be a cracking game. It'll be just interesting to see on a psychological level how far Tip have come, that they've now made the final. Can they finally tip one of the top three and win a bit of silverware, you know?
Win a bit of silverware. If you were going to give a prediction, give us your prediction.
Come down off the fence.
That fence, the splinters.
I think it'll be tight. I think Galway will need to get to 20 points to beat Tipperary. If there's any team to do it, I think it would be Galway. It's not because I'm witchy that I'm going to tip Galway, but I'm going to base it on the fact that they've the experience at Croke Park. They're going for three in a row. They're going for four out of five of the last league titles. that may be enough to get them over Tipperary. But I think this game won't be over until the closing stages. It could be involve a winner, you know, and I'm talking about, again, a goal in the closing stages to maybe tip the balance here. I'm going to say Galway, but just about, I think.
Okay.
I'd agree with you there, Kitty.
Oh, we have to agree with you. Listen,
now we're going to tell the boys in Tip how they're going to win.
Now you have to go off to Tip.
Yeah, you go off to Dennis Kelly now and
you just Tip Tip.
And tell him the exact same thing. Dennis is actually married to a first cousin of mine, Killian. Imagine that.
You have insider information again, I'm sure.
And
yeah.
Eamon Corcoran is married to a first cousin of mine, and they're both sisters. So I'm trying to try and get a
you
bit
have lot of Tipperary blood.
A lot of Tipperary, yeah. My dad, my father's actually Tipperary. So when I was growing up, half of me was shouting for Galway, and the other half was shouting for Tip. Yeah. But before
well, Martina, go, that can't happen. That can't happen now on Sunday. You know that?
Oh God,
that
no!
That just can't happen. No.
Oh God, no.
She's a blue jumper on tonight, but she always wears blue when she comes to my house.
Yeah,
just,
because
you know.
I have to be.
Well, I had a blue jumper on, and I deliberately went and changed because I said you'd be thinking I was coming on supporting Tipperary. So that's how considered I was.
Listen, we've about 2 minutes before we let you go. In short, your opinion of this whole debate. At Congress, where
oh, I thought it was going to get away with this.
No, you're not getting away with
this. Coming from, and like it's just coming from your perspective, it's not coming from a male's perspective, especially with merely 75% of players voting, if they had a choice to bring in the shorts rather than the skirts. What do you think?
I feel whatever the players want, the players should be allowed to have. That's my. You know, I think it's a costume. It's part of an outfit. I don't think it makes or breaks the whole thing. I don't understand sometimes administrators going against players' wishes. If there's that amount of players wanted, why can't it just get over the line? One thing I was surprised about was that the whole element of replacing the skirts completely was well defeated, okay? But
yeah,
the fact
well
that the fact that they were willing to allow shorts become part of the uniform,
yeah,
it's interesting that one was the tighter one. But like I think we had this chat earlier on, yourself and myself, Aoife. There's no way the Camogie Association were then going to allow 10 players go on with shorts and 5 go on with skirts.
No,
that wasn't going to
happen.
So I don't know why that vote was so close, because I just don't think that was never going to happen.
It was never.
So, look, me and officialdom, we don't go well, and that, you know, I do feel sometimes that they don't take into account what the players may want. I think we've moved on. We're in the 21st century. I know, Aoife, you might have different viewpoints on it. To me, as I said, I don't have to wear a skirt, so, you know, but I've heard people talk about the uncomfortable element of it, and then there's some will tell you that they find them fine to wear and whatever. But look, I just think there's been a significant push by players of the current generation that they would like to change it. So I think, you know, I'd be disappointed for them that it didn't get over the line. Now, do you have a situation, and I think maybe it's going to have to come to something like this, would you go down the militant route and decide we're going to show up in shorts on a particular day and let's take the consequences?
I heard a rumour.
Are Tip coming in the shorts?
I did hear a rumour.
If they did, Dennis Kelly, that would be huge, and then to go on and win. But if you lose, then people will say, was it a distraction? And like I heard Ursula Jacob on another podcast today, and I won't mention what that podcast was. And she kind of, you know, felt we're distracting now from talking about this good game. Like, you know, it's all about the skirts, and there's been no preview of this, you know, Galway and Tipperary match. And there's, don't forget, folks, loads of finals on this weekend. I'm doing the Division 1B final in Carlow between Dublin and Wexford on the YouTube for Camogie. Lots of Camogie streams going on this weekend. They have the two games on television on Sunday afternoon. And we're not talking about it. We're not talking about any of those games.
It's all about the skirts.
Yeah.
And like, do you know what? If there was as much energy put into maybe promoting the game than promoting a negative side of the game. But
well, could be here all day now if we were to talk about promoting of the game. You know,
but don't worry, we're getting you on. We'll get you on again. But it all depends on what happens on Sunday. Well, like we were talking about it, and the skirt debate, that could go on for weeks and weeks. But, you know, I was talking to an awful lot of girls over the last couple of days, obviously, since it came out, and past players, present players, the girls that I'm playing with myself, the girls in school, you know, so we're all different ages, and but we're all still kind of playing, and the girls that have passed. And you know what? It's 50-50.
Yeah.
And that's like, and it's amazing that some of the, like, Well, I won't talk about the kind of under 10s and under 11s because they do wear them. But if it was down to me going training, no, I never wear my skirt going training. But I do like to see the skirt in a game. Mm. But maybe the skirt needs redesigning. It's a lot softer. We spoke about this, you know, from the 90s when we were playing with County in the 90s, and it was like a cardboard box that you were like wearing, you know. But it's like the material has all changed now. But I think it needs to be redesigned. They're probably wearing them a little bit too small anyway. But I think it needs to be redesigned, that the short on the inside maybe needs to be like looser.
Well, I obviously can't. Yeah. You know, verify that, you know best, but I still feel that, you know, there has to be debate on it, and there seemed to be a significant amount of debate on it, and there was an awful lot of players' voices and so forth. It wasn't taken into account, and there is no question about it that of the delegates that were in that room in Clane on Saturday afternoon, that some of them went against their own county's wishes or their players' wishes, and that's as I said, is unfortunate. And until you marry administrators with the players, I don't think you have progress. And my worry and my concern, girls, would be going forward, integration. And I've spoken to people about this, and I was had a great chat a couple of weeks ago with Liam O'Neill, former president of the GAA, who started this whole ball, kind of kicking it down the road, getting it going. And like he wants it to happen, and a lot of people want it to happen. But there are so many things that hold back all the associations before they will actually be able to get into being one association. Yeah. And small things like this
don't do anything
for the promotion of Camogie. No, and then people are looking and go, Jesus, you want to be integrated and you want to be considered equal, but yet these are the things that you do. That's my worry and concern for integration going forward.
We could be debating that all night. And as you said, you know, it's about the present. It's about the players at present. That's what we have to listen to. It's not about you or I who've maybe hurled the game county-wise years ago. It's now the present players, and they need to be listened to.
Well, look, you have a Galway man in, the first man in as the Camogie president.
Yeah, yeah.
So, hopefully, you know, I know he's other counties in between. I think he's even living in Kildare, as it happens Kildare, at the minute, you know.
You're living in Kildare as well, though.
Don't worry, I'll be knocking on his door, getting to know Brian. No question about it, you know. But
we'll be knocking on your door if we get a show, a spin up to the Kildare outfits one of the days.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Absolutely.
He has a top to return, so you might pop it into Kildare outfit there. For her. Listen to me, you're
a million,
and we could talk to you all night, and thanks a million for taking the time out
girls.
And if you're ever looking for a Thelma and Louise to entertain you anytime on any pod, you know where we are, and give us a shout.
Well, I tell you, I'm normally at this hour of the night winding down. You've wound me up now. I don't know what I'm going to have to do.
This is
daytime for us, Killian. This is when we start working. But listen, we appreciate the time and keep doing what you're doing.
An absolute pleasure.
And
thanks,
all
girls.
All is good for Camogie.
Yeah, and the promotion of the game. You're doing amazing. And thanks a million. We'll definitely, we'd love to talk to you again during the championship.
Well, just to remind everybody that's viewing, there's four streams on Saturday afternoon. They're all going out on YouTube with the Camogie Association of the various league finals that are taking place. And then obviously the two that are on television on Sunday. So look, there's loads of Camogie action this weekend. I just hope people go and watch it.
If people get out to them, exactly. Killian, thanks a million. God bless.
No problem,
thanks
girls.
A million, Killian.
All right. Nice, Tanti.
Talk later. Thanks a million.
Fantastic. And look at I think he made
great to put a face to,
well, great to put a face to what we read, and it's some great insight there into the preview of the game. Yeah. And look at
well knowledgeable on the game, which is
hopefully
great.
It will be Galway, but it'll be a good game, it'll be a cracker. So
great game.
Please God, all we will.
And we've good seats.
And we have great
thanks
seats.
For that, Paul.
Thanks Paul.
That.
Yeah, we're up now with the press on Sunday. Yeah, well, we hope so anyhow. But listen to me.
Now,
without further ado, I think the poor ladies have been waiting.
The ladies have been waiting. Well, they've been waiting with us anyway. So we have Aislinn Connolly, former Galway player, still playing with the Deer now and doing absolutely brilliant. And new mommy again. And just an all-rounder, just great person for promotion of women in sport, and always so encouraging with anything that's ever gone on in Camogie and in sport.
Nice.
Yes, sound girl. And so where would she leave it? I know we called the McGrath sisters the Kardashians. What do we call the Connollys?
I don't know.
We'll have to think of a new name. The Kardashians. No, I think it's
like the two Johnnies.
The two Johnnies, the Josephines. That's our nickname.
I
know that.
Yeah.
But anyway, so without further ado, we get Aislinn and Sinead on, but we might chat to them separately because the old, you know, the sound tech.
Because the boys are out of town, ladies, so the sound tech isn't the best. So
we'll start with Aislinn. Aislinn, are you there? How are you?
Hi, girls. It's great to be talking to you and to see your faces. How are you?
We're great, Aislinn, and it's fantastic to see you, and it's lovely to have you on the pod, and looking forward to listening to your new endeavours that you'll enlighten us, Aislinn, no doubt, in a few minutes' time.
So it's a different kind of, obviously, we're going to definitely have you on again, Ash, on throughout the championship as well, but tonight is kind of a different one. It's not particularly about Camogie, but
no.
I seen it on Instagram the last day. You have this, you're both yourself and Sinead are co-founders of Body and Kind, which is like a wellness retreat basically for women. And I want you to delve into what you're doing. I just thought it was amazing. It really touched me when I seen it. And I said, have to do something, you know, to help promote it with you. And I'm just going to leave it to you, Ash. Tell us what you're doing.
Yeah, thanks, Aoife, for having us on and Martina. So basically, Body and Kind, you know, at its very essence and at its core, is an immersive health and well-being experience focused on three things, right? It's self-care, fitness, and food. And myself and Sinead launched in 2017 as a passion that we had in terms of, you know, the industry that we love, health and fitness, and Sinead being, you know, a performance nutritionist, and me being really passionate about, you know, women in sport and the benefits that has, not just on the field and off the field. And also, it's Body and Kind for a reason. It's, you know, to be kind to ourselves and not put so much pressure on ourselves in terms of our aesthetics and our body, but also to be actually kind to others. We firmly believe that we rise by lifting other women. And so back in 2017, then we had a couple of, you know, health and wellness events, you know, sellout events in the West and the South of Ireland, where we had about 100 women come to a high energy, you know, fitness, nutrition, well-being day, you know, 10 to 4, and with various different speakers, and with Sinead doing food demos and nutrition talks and self-care and breath work and yoga and Pilates and different types of fitness classes as well. But it wasn't like we kind of pride ourselves on it being fun and light and energetic, right? And then we branched into kind of doing some corporate gigs. We did the Irish Hotel Federation. Then we worked with Bio a couple of times as speakers at their events.
Yeah.
And then COVID hit and I pushed out 3 sprogs. So we kind of.
Fairly lively.
Wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. So we kind of had a pause. And like me and Sinead have always been, you know, said, God, the young female athlete gets very little love, gets very little attention, and teenagers and they don't really know their own bodies really at that, you know, tender age,
and the drop off is so huge, actually.
Huge. And so hormonal health, and I'll let Sinead talk about that because she did her master's on that. So then myself and Sinead, we were very passionate about Body and Kind. It's always there, we love it. And then we said, right, let's do a Body and Kind for the young female athlete, which is coming up on the 20th of April, with all proceeds being donated to UNICEF Gaza Appeal, because you can't but cry kind of on a daily basis.
Oh my gosh.
You know, when you see what's on there. So this is just, you know, a good event. It's, you know, it's providing, and I'll let Sinead go into what's going to happen on the day, but it's basically fueling the young athlete, right? So women in sport, and it's going to be a couple of hours coming together for them to kind of, you know, be educated and be inspired on how to fuel for performance, recovery, and injury prevention. Because Sinead sees a lot of that when she's going around to different
clubs,
and corporates, you know, how, you know, we're not. And I look back myself, girls, when I was training with yourselves and playing, that I was definitely under fueling. I definitely wasn't eating enough.
We
were not under fueling. I used to bring Aislinn.
We
no, but this was the funniest ever. Myself and Ash, and who else was in the car with us? I had my car ran on perfume. It ran on perfume.
Who was
in the car with us, Aislinn? Going to training, and we used to call him the weatherman in Loughrea. You know, the weatherman, where we got used to get the pink, the pink and white cones after tune. Trent said, oh, but we were very educated, and that's why we needed Sinead Bradbury and Fairly Light.
And
wasn't it?
The nicest ice cream is the shop where you got it.
That's where we got it. Sure.
Catherine's Kitchen.
Yeah, but that's why we had to check it out. Every training.
So you were being kind to your body by
we were right. We were being kind.
We were very kind. We were being very kind. So that's kind of our marrying our passions of kind of nutrition, of being kind, of well-being, and also women in sport and you know, confidence. You know, the day is also, it's going to be about nutrition, of course, and fueling for performance, recovery and injury prevention. But there's going to be a segment on you know, training the mind for calm and training the mind for confidence. And that's kind of my area, my baby, because, you know, there's so much nervousness in young girls. You know, I see that, like I'm training with the under sixes, but I'm still training, playing camogie. And I just see younger girls, yeah. I'm twice their age practically now. And they're just so nervous. Mm. And like, you know, and that's why we've Olympian Sarah Lavin, you know,
who's
coming on the day. Amazing. And especially like an individual sport, it's almost harder. You know, you have to be more resilient and you have to be more confident. And the mind is like, as you know, girls, the mind is like a different person inside you. You always have to be feeding it with positive reinforcements, affirmations to perform on the big day and get the best.
And
enjoyment. We want the girls to then leave, you know, enjoying their sport, excelling in their sport, and be more confident to go back to their, whether it's the GA pitch, whether it's the athletics club, the basketball court, whatever it may be. It's open to all.
That's a jam-packed day, Aisling. And it, like, I was chatting to the students today, and the Ardahan Camogie team, we're booked in, we're going, we can't wait to go. And I just think it's going to be a brilliant bonding day for teams. You know, and you were chatting to some of the girls in Rayfields as well. So I think if people could get the word out there that this is going to be just a mega day for girls in sport, the teenage, young teenage kind of, we're talking about kind of first years, more so girls that have kind of had their periods, because you'll be talking about different things like fuel in the body for that. But Sinead might go into that a little bit. But I think it's amazing what you're doing, and especially for it's not for your own benefit. Like, the amount of girls now that's going to get benefit out of this day, and then like for the UNICEF Gaza appeal as well, it'll be, it's a lovely thing what you're doing.
Because we see it at school, Aisling, and again, it's totally from an educational perspective, is the confidence, the lack of confidence, low self-esteem that these girls have. They don't believe that they're good enough. Mm-hmm. And we see dropout, and we're coming to sport. You see the dropout in sport, and it's they're not happy with their bodies. And it's just that their mindset is completely different.
But phones, I don't know what you think about that.
Think
but
social media
phones
has
destroyed us.
Yeah.
No, it helps things, because, you know, we'd be sharing things, we'll share about the event, and it's great. Phones are great that way, but in other ways, you know, the body image, and they're like, it's all facade, isn't it? And it's all filters, and it's all, and that just plays havoc with the mind. So that's why I'm really looking forward to the day and girls getting that attention on the day. And from yourself and Sinead and from Sarah Lavin, like, it'll be unbelievable, like, to, you know, to be chatting to you and for them to enjoy the day without stress, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So that's unbelievable.
And also, you know, just on the point of the phones, like, we're growing up with phones now, they're unavoidable. Well, you would hope that if they stay in sport, and that's kind of, we're trying to keep the 14-year-olds to the 16, when they get 16, and you want to keep them on, and the, you know, you want to keep them all in sport, and you'd hope that they'd have such a love for sport that they'd leave down the phone at times and go out, and they'd love training, and they mightn't be as obsessed with it as other non-sport. Yeah. Or, you know, so that's,
they wouldn't be so hung up in it,
passionate about, you know,
they have other interests. And look, it sounds amazing. Yeah. And where will it take place, Aisling, just so viewers can?
Yeah, so it's going to take place in the Woodlands House Hotel in Adair.
In Limerick, O'Connor and all the family down there.
O'Connor,
the home house.
No, but shout out to the Woodlands as well, because they're comping the space. The treehouse is deadly. It's outdoor.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
It's quirky, it's fun, it's cool, it's not stiff, you know, it's relaxed. And the lovely food and nutritious snacks that we're going to have for the attendees.
That's where Kieran, my brother, got married, and Dorinda, Kieran and Dorinda got married down there, and it's beautiful.
Loved
hotel.
A few weddings there myself as well.
Savage.
So last thing I'll say before we go over to Sinead is sound out and a shout out to the very kind Anna Geary, who donated
a book
for everyone.
I have it written here, I was going to mention her, but now that you've done has,
yeah.
Isn't that, that's really generous of her, and a great book and a toolkit to have.
Yeah, really good, really good. Yeah. So we'd all have loved that. And it's even good. Theory, huh? You have to read a couple of pages of it, you know. Yeah. It would be lots
you have
of
it as a resource.
Yeah, exactly.
Again and again.
It's a book that you can pick up, drop down, pick up again, and you just carry on regardless. Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah,
no, it's brilliant. Can't wait. So,
Sinead, tell us a little bit about Body and Kind.
Okay. So thanks, girls, again for having us on. And Body and Kind, I think Ashton explained it, but my part and where I have the passion is, I did my master's research on training and competing during menstruation, girls. So I got responses from 150 senior inter-county GAA athletes in the codes of Gaelic and Camogie. And they shared so many detailed responses, really private details as well. And it was so hard doing the master's in lockdown, but when they got the responses back, it was just mind-blowing what players have gone through, their want to break the taboo around this subject. And you know,
spoke about that, Sinead, actually.
Yeah, wishing and hoping for more resources for themselves, and not for it to be the be all and end all either, girls, just to make it part of the conversation.
Somewhat
education around it. These were all high performance athletes. They wanted to know what gains they can make. And so I'm not going to go delving too much into this topic. I'm going to mention it and I'm going to educate on it. But really, it's the association with underfueling, girls, that I really want to kind of bring to light as well. So there's a kind of a syndrome in when it comes to sports nutrition, and it's Red S. I don't know if you've heard about that, but it's relative energy deficiency in sport. And if you're not fueling enough for the intensity of your training, and I can get very technical now with the clients that I work with and the teams that I work with, they need to know what fueling for a high intensity session looks like, what fueling for before a game looks like, a low intensity session. And if they're not fueling enough for these sessions, they can get a whole host of issues, like they're more prone to injury, they're lower immunity, they're immunocompromised, they can get low mood, they can get sleep problems, and very likely their menstrual dysfunction. So they can lose their period entirely. Young athletes, they can be over 16, 17, 18 before they get their period. And I was on a podcast there with another lady in the US recently, and she was researching this area, Red S, relative energy deficiency in sport. And she met a 28-year-old athlete that had never got her period and had the same bone density as an 85-year-old woman. That's
fueling.
That's the extreme case, but it's very prevalent that young girls and of all ages are, you know, losing their period due to underfueling. And I want to get it out there. I did recently as well. I did a link with another couple of teams under 16 age group, and there was a doctor present on the team's call we were doing, and I was just highlighting the different issues, and even anemia, like low iron deficiency can be very prevalent, anemia in young teenage girls as well. But a couple of weeks later, the girls were training, and they flagged with the GP, with the doctor, that another girl they were concerned about. So had they not known about the signs and symptoms, not just looking out for themselves, but looking out for their fellow teammates, is really important.
Yeah,
true. Not just about for yourself. Like, this is Body and Kind. We're hoping under the umbrella.
Everybody.
You're educating everybody.
You're looking out for each other, and you can talk about it. And again, just my team recently, they were in the gym, and one of the girls said, geez, I'm not lifting as heavy as I normally would. And just another girl said to her within the team, maybe it's, you know, do you have your period? And she goes, actually, I do. She goes, that happens to me. But we were saying 10 years ago, you would never even have said that.
No, you wouldn't even know if you would have said your liquid. Number one, you wouldn't be lifting weights. But number two, you'd probably be out in the field lifting a bale or in the bog. But it's so true. And I think it's just a matter, as you said, Sinead, is to have that conversation.
Talk about it. To have this and these studies that you're doing, Sinead, as well. Like, it's so interesting.
Facts as well.
Yeah, facts.
The whole area is underfunded and it's under researched, women in sport. So that's why I knew it was going to be a difficult task for me to do a master's research in lockdown with three kids and homeschooling. So I had to pick a topic that meant something, that was going to have impact. And
But that'll be fantastic now at the Body and Kind, like this event, that the girls will actually get this insight that we would never have got. And, you know, like I remember you, Sinead, you started with us like a few years, like I don't know how many years ago now with the county setup, we had never been subjected to proteins and this and that. Like, it was the first, you know, it was our first immersion of like talking about proteins.
Yeah, and it's the regular intake of protein that's so important as well, Aoife. Like, there's, we know from the studies as well that there's protein intake, but it's the distribution of protein intake that's really important to help the process called muscle protein synthesis, which means is after training or games or intensity in the gym work, if you have a regular intake for 48 hours, you help you recover more optimally. So it's understanding, like even talking about supplements, what's safe.
Open
it all up. And Ashton just saying in the chat there to bring up about the male coaches. One of the things when I was doing my research as well, girls, is that I started myself saying female physiology. I wasn't actually saying menstruation or using the word periods. I was part of the problem as well. I was kind of saying, I know, it was awful. And I was kind of going, any kind of male, you know, I was working with the Galway footballers, the seniors there for the last 4 years. And if they were asking me while I was doing my master's about it, I was saying, oh yeah, female physiology. Until then, one day I just started going, no, it's periods. And they were all like, what? Like, what is the story there actually? And how does that work? And what do the girls do? And so they're very open to it as well. So this isn't kind of, you know, some of the problems are the girls don't feel comfortable because of the prevalence of male coaches, but they don't really know how to handle it either.
They're quite ignorant of the fact that no one talks about it,
Because it was funny, Sinead, I was given a course down in Cracklow, the introduction to coaching in Gaelic Games on Saturday, and there was, it was half male, half female, and obviously there were coaches trying to go out and start off on their journey of coaching. But I spoke about this, and I said how different it is training girls than training boys, and like young boys or young girls, old boys, old girls, whatever. But that I said, like, when they have their period, they may not want to come training. So you sometimes have to know that this, they could be in, you know. And they were like, oh God, do we ask them? I was like, no, of course you don't ask them. But I said, let it be open. Maybe say it at the start of the season, like, you know, obviously we'll have the little bag, you know, the bag with the period products, you know, in the bag, like a first aid kit, like we spoke about it weeks and weeks ago. But just be open, normalize it. Woman on the planet.
That came back in my research as well, girls. Some of the girls were modifying their training. So if they had to go for a run, or they might go for a walk. But the thing was, they weren't relaying this back to the coaches. So the coaches were assuming they were doing it, but they weren't. And they were like, it's not that they wanted to opt out, but at times they did it kind of every now and again, but just the communication wasn't there. So, you know, they just weren't comfortable at that point talking about.
That's why there's apps out now. I was kind of talking about it when we were with the County Minors last year. There was a wellness app that you had to fill. So if you weren't feeling great that day, so if it was your period or whatever, or if you just were tired from study.
Brilliant. You don't have to say it to anyone, but they can look at it, or one person within the group can look at it. And
That's what was happening. It was great to
read. Another just advice, if anybody is listening and they are younger, like, generally, the resounding kind of feedback on this at the moment in terms of the research is like, it's not a one size fits all. So no coach should be thinking about streamlining training for
everyone.
But if girls individually track and map, so they, whatever way, whether it's an app or whether it's on a piece of paper or on your phone, just start to get to know your body. And again, body in kind is about kind of looking out for yourself and tuning into yourself, whatever age you might be. And just tracking for 3 months and noticing how you're feeling, your even your energy levels, how you're training, any different symptoms or dehydration or cravings, you know, jot it all down so you get to know how you are personally. And, you know, we can make serious gains, personal best.
Get to know your body.
During your period as well. Like, doesn't mean just that's the time that it all goes, you know, the wrong way. There are different research for the different phases. The luteal phase, we can make strength gains. Kind of, there's a lot of links. It's not like resounding, but like ACL injuries mid cycle as well.
Quite frequent.
Frequent, and it's happening more and more. Is it overtraining, or is this something that can be looked at as well? And then, you know, the last phase as well, we can struggle a little bit pre-menstruation. So it's just getting to know yourself and becoming an expert. You're not an expert in yourself, you know, in food or vitamin minerals, in yourself and how your body works.
So it promises to be brilliant, eh? I can't wait for it. And the girls are so excited. And we're going to spread the word.
We're talking about it at school today in St. Rayfield's. I was bringing it up with a few of the girls because, you know, when you get to know the kids in school, you're kind of very open to having these conversations. So they were very... And would you ever come to school, Sinead, you know, and Aisling? Do you come in to give talks, or would that be cards down the road?
Yeah, well, I mean, we're passionate about it. It's taken us different places. And the fact that we're doing it for UCS and the Gaza P, and now we're kind of totally open to whatever people, you know, want for this, for this event. But yeah, I mean, get in touch with us if anybody is wondering about groups coming or smaller groups coming. We'll do special discounts. We really just want to get, you know, as many as we can.
Bums on the seats.
Bums on seats, and just give it our all. We're both very busy people, but this is something we're very passionate about. And again, you dig even deeper when it's
it's going to be a packed house. I've no doubt it'll be a packed house, and please God it will. And anyone that's half interested, they can private message you, they can private message me, Martina, you know.
Yeah, we're on Body and Kind, Body and Kind on Instagram and Facebook, and I'm Sinead Barbie Nutrition, and then Ashton Connolly on Instagram. Yeah. So yeah, get in touch anyway at all, and we'd love to be able to help. And it's not just GA, it's all different types of sports. So.
Absolutely.
And that's
women in sports. Yeah. And there is a competition there as well. Like it's what a competition. I was telling the students that they were like, can we please use our phones? I said, no, you're not allowed to use your phones until
that was your idea. Like that was your idea. That's women helping women. That's exactly what this is about. It's broader.
It's promoted. Yeah.
And like, I know you Camogie girls, like come back when you were playing and Ashton was playing, the bond between you and
the friendship,
the laughs you girls, you know, that have had together. And like, you'll always support each other. And I think that's what I love about the Camogie as well. I work in men's and women's, but the Camogie, you're tough, you're supportive, you know, and it's not just when you're playing, it keeps going and on and on.
Yeah, it's going because
like a community.
We mightn't see each other for years, but nothing changes. You can still have those conversations and still have the crack. Do you know
and
what
you're
I mean?
Still helping other younger girls as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And it's all about giving back. And that's something that you certainly have done, both of you, in, you know, gone beyond the call of duty. Yeah. And Sinead, you know, you're so professional in your approach and you're wonderful. And a friend of mine, I'm not going to mention her name, but I know
shame her.
No, I won't shame her. But you did help her once upon a time, and she was very worried about weight loss and things like that. And I know that you were definitely the stepping stone to her confidence and her weight loss journey. And I'm not mentioning him because she'll know out there who she is, but it's all down to you, Sinead. And it's fantastic, and it's great to talk to you. And Aisling, it's great to see you off the field, you know, and it's great to see you. And again, Aisling, we might ask you about the shorts. But Sinead, before we let you go, the run up to the league final, how are the girls from a nutrition perspective? What advice would you be telling the girls now?
She's in with the
senior.
Yeah,
I know
stuff.
She is, but we'd say Thursday.
Yeah, but the great thing is
Saturday, what would you be telling them to do?
Well, a big part of my work is educating on the fueling and the recovery, but an awful lot of self-care, like the Body and Kind ethos, just to make sure. And it can be very challenging within the GA circles, widespread across it, is just the amateur nature again, Martina, because you know, there's so many demands on their time. And there is obviously a big difference between men's and women's sport as well. They don't get as much as the men's, so I'm always trying to get anywhere extra you can get, whether it's protein milk or, you know, little snacks, because that all helps because they're so busy. But yeah, I'll be putting a big emphasis on rest and recovery. The management and the coaches, the team themselves are very good at managing the load, hopefully, as well. So there'll be a nice run into it. And the girls rise to a big occasion. They're that type of team. Roisin Black now, the captain, like, she's just a natural born leader, and Carrie Dolan as vice captain. And they're just a pleasure to work with. And, you know, they're just so tough. That's how I find them. They're just really resilient and tough women. They won't come knocking unless they really need it. So I'm merely encouraging them to open up more and make sure they're sharing, because they are so tough, you know. And they put up and they go on a field no matter what way they're in. Like, they don't get as much support with resources as the men. So they're used to just showing up. And I'm always trying to make sure that they're tuning in and listening so that they can rest when they need to, rather than just soldiering on all of the time. I think this is when they shine, this is when they come to life, this is where they want to be. And I'm just very happy to be supporting them in any way I can, as is everybody involved. So it's a big day, it's very exciting.
To be amazing to.
And the best of luck. And look at you're part of the posse, you're part of the management, whether it's from, you know, it mightn't be with a hurl in your hand, but the very best of luck to you all in Croke Park on Sunday. And Aisling, before you go, we'll get you to have the final word. Is it a skirt or is it a short, Aisling?
Oh, I'd be short all the way.
Short.
Yeah. Short.
Not the short short, no.
Not the short short.
Is it the short short?
Who wears short shorts? Who wears short shorts?
It's like, do you remember the old saying, the old chicks with sticks? Is it that type of a way or is it?
No, whatever's comfortable for the players. But I just think what Killian was saying, you know, in favor of like whatever the players want. And it's clear that the players voted for shorts. Like you don't see like any camogie. Like I was up there training myself just before this, like, and Tuesday night, a camogie day, and the Anstruther and the pitches. There wasn't one girl, female, woman training with a skirt. Like everyone wears.
No,
shorts.
We don't train with the skirts. No.
What? No, not at all. No. Yeah. So I just think it's very disappointing that the players voted. There was two motions. There was one motion for, you know, to replace it entirely, or the second motion was to give it an option.
Yeah,
and totally shot down. And I just think, you know, if you mentioned there that crap loss session going down, training coaches, and you know, now we're at the stage with sport and camogie and GA that we're not all like, it's not the case of the manager just speaks and the players are all mutes. Like it's more of a dialogue now. Like that's the way it's a conversation.
Yeah,
you know, and a relationship. And like you're with the under 11s, Aoife, you said I'm with the under 6s. I'm going to be with them throughout their journey.
Yeah.
And like. We're here at that grassroots level saying, you know, there has to be, you know, okay, we're mindful of, you know, a two-way conversation. And then you have this archaic organization at the top who's saying they're doing this two-way conversation. But yet when it gets to the decision, they're just totally nulling and voiding that feedback and then just going with the county board delegates and the National Congress. So I think it's really doesn't put...
I can't see the the Camogie Association, I just cannot see them giving up the skirt. And maybe I'm resigned to this. I can't see them giving it up.
Same. I'd agree with Why do you think? Why?
I think it's tradition.
I think it's identity. I just don't know.
Tradition. Now, it's
like
something.
I was saying to Killian, they're going to seriously have to do something with the skirts. As in, like, make the shorts inside of the skirts. It was, like, they're tight and we're constantly fiddling and pulling and dragging. Do you know what I mean? Like, I like the look of them for matches, for sure, for important matches. I do like the look of the uniform, maybe. But the whole thing is they're not comfortable. But I suppose, Ashlyn, compared to a couple of years ago when we were wearing the cardboard style ones, they're a little bit better. But I can't see the Camogie Association giving up that identity. They want to be equal, but then they don't.
They want to be equal. I don't know how they want to be different. Do you know what I mean? Like I was looking at
the players have to be listened to.
Yeah, and online, like the arguments they were saying, you know, what girls look like on the pitch, that they look better than being in a shorts. And some girls are wearing shorts that are way too small for them, and hence that it doesn't look right on the pitch. Now, these are not my words. I'm just taking them from quotes from online.
Is this like movie night from Love Island?
It's like movie night, I'm taking some quotes. But I just think for comfort, go a size up. Rather than your own size. But to me, I'm 50-50, and that's just
It seems to be, like, just asking the girls now, like I was saying to Killian there, it's 50-50. It's very 50-50 with what I've asked. And I suppose that's why the vote didn't... Oh, no, it wasn't. Sure, it wasn't the players.
It was 66% to 30-something in favour.
So we'll be having this argument, Ashlyn, I suppose, in 3 years' time, because it's there for another 3 years anyway. But camogie sometimes doesn't help itself. Do you know
sure
what I mean?
No,
so, but I cannot see them giving up the skirt. To me, I think Camogie, they're going to use the identity of the skirt because they're not going to let.
If you were to survey, you know, Ireland, right? Ireland, and you say to me, give me 10 words to describe the Camogie Association. No one would say skirt like that. That wouldn't come up. Like that's not how.
Yeah,
I don't look at a match. I don't look at a match and be like, oh, it's a skirt. Like, you know, it's, you know, we need to be focusing on other things like the promotion of the game, the skill of the game.
But here we are now, you see, talking about it has taken up the whole, like, league week, we'll say, league final week, talking about skirts. When we could have been using,
the game. Yeah.
Talking about the game or the skills or promotion of it in some way.
But anyhow, at the end of the day.
We'll be talking about this again.
Yeah, we're stuck with the skirt. And again, if you're
size up.
But if you're wearing it now, you get a yellow card. And if you continue to argue to dissent, you get the red card. And that's just the way it is. So we have to suck it up.
Do you think will Tipperary show up in the shorts? I don't think they'll chance it.
Well, if they do, fair play to them. fair.
If they do, yeah, but if they do, they'd have to go out and win it because they'll be lambasted. Do you know what I mean? Or would they?
No, that's, I think, if you stand for something and you're strong about it, and they have obviously very strong about it on Twitter, and they're coming out like really, really strong saying we're
tough
very
one for Brian Malloy going in on this, isn't it? The first one.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like, and yeah, you know, we're very
congrats to him, actually. Yeah.
That this is the result. And if they do stand up to them, yeah, like, more power to them, I would respect that.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. We'll have to wait and see.
Yes.
But look, we could talk to you all night.
We'll have you back again, Ash, which Sinead, definitely talking more camogie side. I know we kind of went for the event tonight to promote it.
Yeah, you're only touching
base. Thanks a million, girls.
And can't wait to be at it. We'll be
down there. Wonderful. And, you know, you're talking about empowering women. You're powerful women yourselves. And, you know, Aisling, you were, I'm sure you still are, but you were tough in the day.
But she still is the sphere of her.
She was only a young one when I was coming to retirement there.
I learned from the best, girls. I learned from you.
That's the words we want to hear. And Sinead, keep doing what you're doing. You're fantastic and you're wonderful. And from listening to the girls, even, you know, a few of the county women talking to us, and they speak so highly of you, Sinead.
Seriously helping their game.
And I just think you're more like a friend, and you're such a role model in there, and there's nothing too big or small that you would do for them. And Aisling, keep doing what you're doing
ask, Sinead, is there much protein in a Tunnocks tea cake, do you know?
We love Tunnocks tea cakes. We could be.
Well, I just want to ask the question back. How high performance do you want to be, girls?
Oh, pure athletes. Well, if ye seen us trying to get onto the computer, there was a lot of blood sweat.
But there was a lot of energy. I'd say 14 calories.
Just well, I wasn't long in the door now from training, so I was like, there was a panic on. But so, girls, thanks a million, and can't wait to see you on the 28th from 12 until 3 down in the Woodlands Hotel. And hi to Connor and all the team down there. We can't wait to go down and just enjoy all things body and kind. And
onwards and upwards, yeah, Richie. And sure, I hope this is the start of a wonderful journey. And we're so glad to be part of that as well, ladies. Okay.
So thanks a million for joining us.
Thank you so much. And take care. And we'll talk soon. Bye bye.
See you, girls. Thanks a million.
Bye bye. They're just wonderful. I actually met Aisling from a distance. I didn't meet her. She was down in Spanish Hill. Spanish Point, I think, down with the kids, and it was lovely. It was lovely to see her. But anyhow, look, it was fantastic, my friend.
Yeah, that was a busy kind of a...
Might have went a little bit over the top, but I think it was they were important conversations to have tonight.
And it should be remiss of us now if we don't mention the failure. And we won't
and
give anyone.
It would be, you know, unforgivable of me if I didn't mention big congratulations to Brian Malloy from Ballinderry.
Oh, huge, yeah.
From Ballinderry and Camogie and Hurling Club. And to his wife Vivian and the two girls, a fantastic achievement, first male in history.
Mm.
Probably we will have a tough year ahead with the whole debating and everything, but no better man to take it on. And Brian, we'd love for you, if you're listening to us, or to take the time out maybe sometimes and have a chat.
Come on and chat, and a big shout out
as well to Fela this weekend, unfortunately, with the weather storm, bloody Kathleen Aoife. She ruined it on us.
Well, I can tell you that Kilvera are playing at the night in the Division 1 at 7:30 in Ballinasloe Friday evening, and that's before that then Ardrahan are playing Oranmore Mary in the Division 3 final, and have to wish all of the girls the best of luck in that. And haven't they the confirmation? Yvonne, my niece, is making her confirmation. Right, Yvonne Hines is making her niece that day. So wouldn't it be a lovely little day if they won?
Absolutely. And a shout out to all the teams.
So best looking to our neighbours as well, and Kimberra. And
a shout out to Pearce's Camogie Club, especially my niece Eva, who is flying the flag for me in the division final with Fela as well. So the best of luck to everyone involved, managers, coaches. Enjoy the next few days with Fela. And it's...
Oh, I have to say hello to Marisa Howley from Ardrahan. Yeah, met her today. She's living down in Montpellier. And Ginny Linnan from Australia. She's from Australia. She's living in Australia now. So hi, Ginny, and keep listening. And it's lovely to keep getting the messages. Keep following us on the pod.
Absolutely.
And it's just text
positive,
us. Yeah, it's great, crack.
Messages. And regardless of whether they're positive or negative, we take everything with a pinch of salt. And I hope you enjoyed this week. And big shout out to Killian, and a big shout out to both Sinead and to Aisling for taking the time out to having the chat with us. And again, please press that button, subscribe to the Maroon and White
Pod. Yep.
And it's goodbye for me.
And it's goodbye for me. So and best of luck to all of the Fela teams that's happening
on
Wednesday.
Best of luck to Cahal, his management, and the Galway senior ladies as they embrace another league final
for three in
Croke Park. And let's hope that we have silverware on the way home.